Our scripture lesson today comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 through 32. Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 through 32. And something's missing. I'll be perfectly honest with you this morning. I'm not feeling it. So we're going to find that gear. We seem to be a little quiet and a little tentative. So we're going to stand for the reading of His Word today. So when you find it, stand up, please, if you're able to. If not, you'll be standing in spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 through 32. Paul writing to that church, giving them very strict and solid instructions. Again, if you can join with us standing for the reading of His Word. Verse 20, "You, however, you did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of Him and were taught with Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must no longer steal, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful in building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ in God forgave you." May God add His blessings to these words. As we dwell in them, let us share together and join in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You that we're here today. We ask, Father, that You wake us up, that You bring our spirit back into gear, that You allow us to walk within the Word this morning, and that we will glean from it, that we will grow from it, and that we will walk just a little bit closer. Let us know that this message today is for our growth, for our strengthening, and that we may share with those around us as the days start to number themselves, that no one should miss out on the glory of Your Son Jesus, that belief in everlasting life. Through Jesus' name, all of God's children said, Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now we're getting somewhere. I want to ask you a question if I can this morning, but before we do that, I have David help out with the morning and now with the morning prayer, because it's kind of a cool thing to hear a different set of prayer. And David doesn't do exactly things the way I do, and that's fine. And although some people would see that as a breath of fresh air, especially those who might be pointed out during that prayer, I'm not going to let it go. You see, we forgot to remember to remind ourselves to wish Marvin a happy birthday. His birthday's coming up this week. And John's birthday is also coming up this week. And we need to sing. That's what we do. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear John. Happy birthday to you. I love seeing them faces turn red. We're going to get awake, and we're going to be happy that we're here. Y'all are looking like the Christians that I don't like. Remember them ones that sit in church on Sunday morning like this? I'm here.
I'm ready to worship you, Lord. I'm happy. Let me ask you a question. How many of you in this room have had or still have trouble letting go of something? I don't see enough hands. Let me ask this question again. How many of you in this room right now have had or are currently having trouble of letting go of something? Put your hands up. Everybody in this room knows that everybody's had this problem. So you ain't got to worry about your neighbor judging you. We've all had this problem. We've all made this statement. I just cannot let go. There is a television program that I like to watch, The Cosby Show, Bill Cosby. Many of you know it. And there was one where she was fussing at Bill, the wife was, about how he had to let go of certain anger. And he pointed out to her that she used to have a great friend. And that great friend and her, they was always together. They was always talking. And when they weren't right next to each other, they was always on the phone, how women get to. And yes, and you know, and mm-hmm. And that is just too fine. Tell me that ain't so. And this friend got sick. And Claire Huxtable made her a dish and put it in her finest Tupperware and sealed the lid and took it over and gave it to her. And when the friend got better, Claire began to ask, "Where is my Tupperware? Where is that dish at? You haven't returned that dish yet." And haunted her to the point that the woman had to go and get therapy for a dish that cost $37.22. And the woman, after 8 months, became so distraught that she went out and spent $54.25 on a whole new bunch of Tupperware and sent it to the woman. And Claire said, "I'll never have this again." And she took it out in the driveway and drove the car over it. Have you ever had trouble letting go? Say yes.
Yes.
Do you still have that trouble letting go? Say yes.
Yes.
What happens when you hold in anger? What happens? Is it good for you? Of course not. It's summer. A lot of us in this room are baseball fans. America's national pastime. And I thought when I read this story, there may be a great lesson here and about letting go, and if you don't let go, what can happen? In 1871, in Boston, a new stadium was opened for the Boston Braves. Now, I'm going to get a bunch of you here. That's not the name of that team. Oh, yes, it was in 1870. As a matter of fact, let's get a little history lesson here. Do you know that the Boston Braves were originally the Boston Red Stockings, which came from Cincinnati, the Red Stockings? They're still called the Cincinnati Reds. The Boston Braves sold their franchise out, became the Atlanta Braves, and now three teams in baseball still carry a red within their team logo: the Cincinnati Reds, the Boston Red Sox, and the Atlanta Braves, who have their uniforms in red. So don't tell me I didn't read up. In 1871, a stadium was built in Boston called the South End Stadium. It was built to house the Boston Braves. They were a National League team. And they played and they did whatever they did at that point in time. And baseball was the thing. And many teams from around the country came to play there. And in May of 1894, a team you may have heard of came to play the Boston Braves. Some of them called them the Bean Eaters. I don't know what else they had. The team that came to play in May of 1894 was the Baltimore Orioles. But you didn't know that the Baltimore Orioles had a team in 1894. They did. And in May of 1894, two great teams. As a matter of fact, Boston would go on to place third that year, 8 games behind the Orioles, who would win the national championship. Great rivalry. Great things were about to happen. In the middle of the game, who knows how it started, a fight broke out. And the two people got into a fight on the field. And pretty soon all the team players got into a fight. And pretty soon the benches cleared out. And pretty soon the whole stadium was fighting. We're talking fans, people on the field, Everybody was fighting. They couldn't stop it. Couldn't let go, right? It gets worse. Somehow during this great fight, someone started a fire in the stands and set fire to the stands and burnt the stands to the ground, the dugouts, the wooden walls, the structures, all because of a fight. But that wasn't it. When it was all said and done, after the fire of 1894, which destroyed the South End Field, it took 117 more buildings surrounding in the process. You understand what anger can do? It starts little and blows out from there. It is something that we cannot control. It is something that you, brothers and sisters, and me have no control over. And yet you hear people that get mad all the time, don't you? I cannot let go. And do you know who makes that statement? Probably more than a lot of people I've ever met in my life. Me. Oh, I'm terrible with it. I am run through with that thing that I can't let go. I'm 46. Am I 46 still? I'm still 46. Have to check that every now and then. Because I'm always told that I act like I'm 10. Messes you up a little bit. And I still struggle with it. I still have that old demon, Paul, writing about it. My old self still vexes me. It still holds on deep in there. And at times you get so mad, you just cannot let go. I work for the utility company. I've worked in and around electricity all my life. And one of the things that we are taught and have taught is that high voltage is not the greatest killer. You understand that? High voltage does not kill near as many people as you would think. I work around high voltage. I routinely am around cables, inside of cables, that far away from my face, that carry 33,000 to 40,000 volts. That's big stuff. When you open the cabinet up and your hair starts to stand out a little bit and your ears are ringing, you know you're in the presence of great electricity. But that's not what kills more people. You know what does? Household current. You know why? Because household current can get a hold of you and lock you in to where you can't let go and stops the heart. With the big current, it hits you, throws you halfway across the world. The little stuff holds on. Cannot let go. It's a known fact. Anger can get in your heart and make you not let go. It can come on so fast that you don't realize it's there. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, realized that there was a problem there. He understood that the people at that time didn't know he was going to be writing for y'all. He understood that people at that time were faced with a dilemma. They like to gossip. They like to speak untruths. They like to get mad at one another and hold on to it. What good does that do you? I had two experiences with it this week, so now you know where the sermon's coming from. One of them is somebody at work made me so mad that I was ready. And you know how I can get. And I'm big enough to do it. And what they were telling me was they had made me mad and then went on about their business and didn't realize that it was seething and bubbling and I was getting madder and madder and madder by the minute, and they were making me madder just looking at them. I'd walk into that office and boy, I'm just getting wowed. And then they spoke kindness to me. And I realized they had no clue. I had to back up for a minute. I had to understand what the situation was and let go. I had to realize that it's not their job to come to me and ask me to forgive them. It is my job to analyze the situation, put it down there and look at it, and say, hey, I've got to forgive them. Regardless of whether they let go or not, regardless of whether they forgive me, it's my job. Paul says it right there. What does he say? Go back to your Bibles, brothers and sisters. I want you to understand that verse. Verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. He doesn't say, put a lawn chair out there in your front yard, get a cool glass of iced tea and a book, and wait on them to come ask you for forgiveness. How many people, when you've been mad at somebody, have sat and waited for them to forgive you? Has that worked out for you? No. And what have you done with that anger? You held on to it, didn't you? Because you cannot let go. Sorry, brothers and sisters, that's how it is. That's how we're built. Unfortunately, we cannot let go of it. But where do you go when your anger is directed in house? What are you going to do when the anger is right at home? What are you going to do when the anger is family? You had better figure this one out real, real fast. You had better be on your knees begging for that word to get in your heart. This past week, we took the boys to farm safety camp. We were excited about it. No children at the house for 2.5 days. Yes! That was an exciting time! And my children are smart, mostly. We get a call Thursday, 4 hours after we dropped them off. We got to come back and get them because they brought something to camp that they were not supposed to have, and consequently, they were being asked to leave camp for the weekend. You can imagine how hard my brain split open. I couldn't see. I became red around the eyes. Smoke poured out of my ears. Fire shot from my nostrils. My heart, you know, arms started to bug out. Hair stood up on end. I turned to my wife as we got in that truck to drive back to get them. I turned, what did you do this to me for? I said that to my wife, who's had more than one reason in our 14 years of marriage to be mad at me. Now, I know you find it hard to believe, but it does happen. The whole way over there, I beat on the dash of that truck. I was so mad I couldn't even see straight. What in the world did you? What did I do? You run them going. I couldn't form words. We got there, and she said to me before we got out of the truck, behave yourself till we get them in the truck. Get in the truck. And I had to go and talk to the people that are putting this on, two lovely ladies. And I had to stand there in front of them and go, I'm sorry. Please don't be mad at us. I'm sorry. Get in the truck because I can't take this. And we get in the truck. And on the way home, and I was so mad on the way home, I wanted to call the army and ask if they would take them all. We went to bed that night. I was fire-breathing mad. Went to bed that night, angry, couldn't let go, couldn't step back from the situation. Got up the next morning. Didn't even talk to my wife. Just went out the door. I was so mad. So angry. How could you embarrass me like this? How could you do this to me? How in the world? Hey, you know what I kept forgetting the whole time? I'm the father, and I had as much responsibility in this mess as she did. On my way to work, I was looking at the steering wheel, trying to figure it all out, looking out the window. Suddenly it came to me. I got as much fault in this as anybody. I'm the husband. I'm the head of the house. I got on the phone when I got to work. I had already grounded them for a month, and that's a true story. I had grounded them for a month and was determined that I was going to make everybody feel how mad I was. By the time I got to work, I began to hear the words. I began to hear a sermon for me, and I called her and I said, hey, I might have been just a little hasty last night. I might have been just a little too angry last night. And so we're going to shut things down to a week, and we're going to talk about this. I came home and I sat my family down in front of me and apologized that I was wrong, and I let go. And I got up from the chair and I felt better. I had one last chore to do, because you see, my mother had paid for them to go to camp. And my mother and father are well known in Frederick County farm circles. And so I had to pick up that phone Friday and boop, 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 boop. Hello, Mother. And you're not going to believe what happened. And I had to tell Mom it was all my fault. And my mom and dad are listening on the phone, and my dad's response was, "Didn't you check their bags?" "Well, yeah, but we didn't check all of them." "Didn't you do this?" "Yeah, well." He said, "Well, these things happen. Hey, we'll see you in a couple weeks." And that was the end of it. But I couldn't let go. The whole way over there, the fume and the anger was so powerful and so within me that I almost burnt down half the town trying to extol my anger out there for everybody to see it. I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, how many of you in this room have been just that mad at any given time in your entire life? Say amen. Amen. And so we cause ourselves to hold on to grudges. We cause ourselves to get too lost about why we're mad. Do you know why you become mad? Because you have this sudden need to be right even when you're wrong. That's why you really become angry. God said, you cannot do this. Paul wrote to Ephesus, the church at Ephesus, in his words and said, you have to forgive. Not you should, not think about it, not maybe you should do it. You have to do it. Do you know why? Because Jesus got mad at you. What did I just say? I got angry. Many years ago, a senior executive of the Standard Oil Company made a decision that cost that company putting their $2 million. That's a lot of money. He was under John Rockefeller, who was at that time running the Standard Oil Company. And of course, the news had leaked out. You know how it'll go. And pretty soon, all the major executives knew about it. And all of them were scared, and they did everything they could to avoid Mr. Rockefeller because they didn't want to get yelled at by him. They knew it was coming. $2 million? This man had lost that company $2 million? But there was one exception, and his name was Edward T. Bedford. And he was a partner in the company. And Bedford was scheduled to go in and see Mr. Rockefeller, and so he kept his appointment. And on that day, he was prepared to listen to a long diatribe of John D. Rockefeller running this man flat into the ground, and he surely knew that this man was on a chopping block to be fired. He walked into the office and he found John Rockefeller leaned over that great magnificent desk. I know you've seen pictures of it, scribbling away. He had a notepad and a pencil and was writing and erasing and writing and erasing. And Bedford stood there for a couple minutes and didn't want to interrupt him, just watching him. And John Rockefeller just writing and looked up for a moment and saw him. He said, "Oh, hey, it's you, Bedford. How you doing? Come on in and sit down." When Bedford had sat down, John Rockefeller sat down for a moment and goes, "Did you hear about how much money we just lost?" "Yes. Yes, I had." He said, "You know, I've been thinking it over. And before I ask the man in responsible for this to discuss that matter, I've been making some notes." And Bedford later related the story this way. He said, "Across the top of the page was written, 'Points in favor of Mr. So-and-so.' And there followed a long list of the man's virtues, including a brief description of how he had helped the company make the right decision on three separate occasions that had earned many, many times the amount of money that he had made a decision and lost." Edward Bedford said, "I never forgot that lesson. Never forgot it." Whenever you get lost and getting angry at someone, you need to back up and remember who they are. You need to back up and remember what they've done. You need to back up and remember what they're worth. You need to back up and hear the word of the Lord say, I forgave you, you forgive them. Oh, that's tough, ain't it? I cannot let go. I cannot let go. He said, I've never forgot that lesson. He said, there's no telling how many times this habit has kept me from making a mistake in firing someone. You know, Jesus got mad at us and said it. Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. And when they came to a crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt down before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or to the water. And I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. What did Jesus say? Verse 17, he said, oh, unbelieving and perverse generation. Oh, yeah, he was mad. Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Now, before I go any further, can you hear that? What? Can you just see him going, what? What? And becoming angry. Oh, perverse, oh, unbelieving and perverse generation. I believe in my mind that if Jesus Christ stood here right in front of me and looked at me and said, Paul Leatherman, you are unbelieving and perverse. How long do I have to put up with you? I'd be laying on that floor in a pool of tears. Those words would hurt worse than anything that's ever happened to me. Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of the boy and he was healed at that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, and I love this, if you're following along, listen, why couldn't we drive it out? Now, let's analyze that for a minute. 12 disciples, they're learning. They're supposed to be the men. They're the inner circle. They have held Jesus. They have been there. They have learned the teachings. They have sat with him in those private moments. And he has said this and that and that and this and taught them and lifted them up just like a parent would do for their children and expect that child to immediately follow right along. And yet they didn't. And they had the nerve to ask him, why couldn't you drive it out? Why couldn't we do it? He replied, he was still mad. Because you have so little faith. Verse 20, I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing is impossible for you. Do you know why we can't let go? Because we lack the faith to just let it go. The other person, and this is my lesson, and I can see my wife. I'm trying not to look at her. I'm trying to look at you guys, but I'm sure her head is doing this. My problem is that when I get mad at someone, they may not realize that I'm mad at them. They could care less, maybe even. And I'm carrying that burden. I cannot let go. Brothers and sisters, that's the same thing that all of us do. Paul writing in Corinthians those famous words that I love, that I have heard, that I have lived by, that I continue to know when I can't win. Paul had the same problem. I don't know what it was, but he had something that would cause him to constantly be in pain and turn to Christ, and I feel it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he says these words, to keep me from becoming conceited because of what was surpassingly, of these surpassingly great revelations that was given to me, a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. You know what that means? The one thing you cannot let go of is Christ in everything. In everything. I can take an engine apart and put it back together. Some say blindfolded. I can walk into certain situations and immediately know how to fix them. It is my thing. It's what's given to me. People bring stuff to me. What's wrong with that? I don't know everything, and I know that, but I know a lot. I know how to plant and raise crops. I know how to tend after cows. I know how to do a great number of things that has been allowed to be my blessing. But do you know what I can't do? I can't do one single thing without Christ. And in that, I'm saying, brothers and sisters, of Him and His blessing, His direction, I cannot let go. Say amen.
Amen.
That's where it's at. What good does anger do? Does that mean tomorrow I'm going to walk out the door or later today and still not get angry and still not struggle with it? Absolutely not. What it means is that I'm going to remember the words that I'm speaking to my own self to remind me. There was and I wish I'd wrote it down, I don't know who said it, but there was a great preacher one time who was being challenged by one of the parishioners who came up to him and said, "You know what, Pastor? There is nothing wrong with losing your temper every now and then." And he had a great reply. He said, "Yeah, there's nothing with shooting a shotgun blast every now and then, but look at the damage that it causes." Oh man, that hurts. I read a story about losing your temper, and I have to share it with you. The fellow said one morning, he was all excited because that Saturday morning, he was sleeping in. He had to get up and go to work early all the time, and he was going to sleep in that morning. Oh, he was so excited about it. And at daybreak the next morning, he said it would sound like somebody was up on the roof of his house building a boiler. The hammering and beating and banging. And it made him mad. He woke up and he looked out the window and he couldn't see anything. So he ran out the door to see what it was. And here a woodpecker had taken up residence on his television aerial pole, that aluminum thing, and was beating on bang, 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 bang. And it was rattling the whole house. And he became angry. He went, "Bang, bang, I'll teach you a lesson." And he looked around and he said, "Hey." And he grabbed the rock and he threw that rock at that thing. And the bird saw the rock coming. And what did he do? The bird backed away. The rock went past. The bird landed. And off in the distance, he heard a crash as the rock went through somebody's windshield on their car. He became even angrier. And he began to stomp around. And he reared back and he kicked the ground in his anger. But because he had run out the door, he had to put his shoes on. And limping and mad, he goes back to the house and the door locked behind him. You have to learn to let go. I have to learn too. I know the thorns in my side. I know the thorn that probably is in your side. Impatience. Misunderstanding. Anger. The inability to forgive when it needs to be. Can't do it. There's no good in it. There's no strength in it. I don't mean that you're going to walk out the door changed like that. It doesn't happen. But you know how to control it. You know what to let go of and what not to. Paul said, in my weakness, Christ told him, in His weakness, perfection comes. To the church in Ephesus, forgive as God forgave you through the death of Jesus Christ. I may not be able to let go, but I know what to hold on to. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for reminding us of who we are and challenge us who we need to be. We thank You, Father, that You have never given us somewhere as easy to walk and something easy to do. We'd forget about You quite quickly, I would think. Father, I challenge each and every one of us gathered here today to remember what anger can do and how to not hold on to it. Remembering, Father, that Jesus forgave us. Even in those moments when He was still angry at His disciples, at His chosen ones, at that moment for not listening, He still forgave them. Teach us, Father, when to let go and what not to let go of. Fill our heart full with forgiveness, that we may not carry that around, that we may not carry that load, that we may find that when we set it down and walk away from it, our path is a little lighter. Challenge us this day, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I challenge you that if something is on your heart, if you need that lifting, if you need that strengthening, that you would come forward for prayer. If you need me to, or if you just need to leave it here. And if you need that strengthening with Christ, we stand ready as we sing our last hymn.
Please stand and turn to page 479.
Oh, that's crazy.
Song.